okay. I didn't know that's what was going on. And no, I just want to take a moment and just ask the Spirit to just be with us today. As if you're joining us, we're on a 3-year journey in something called Becoming Heart Strong, where we started almost 3 years ago in the book of Matthew. And we find ourselves today in the book of Daniel, here in Orleans, in Kanata, and also in Cornwall. And God has been moving so incredibly. And so we're going to ask God to speak into this moment. And maybe as I begin to pray, you're going to sense the Holy Spirit saying, third service. And that's okay, right? If you need to respond to what it is that Kofi has said today, we're just going to ask God to move how he wants in this place. Let's pray. God, you are so welcome here. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move, God, as your word goes forward. May it not only touch our ears, Lord God, but may it shift and change our hearts. God, soften our hearts today. Give us ears to hear what it is that you would present. Holy Spirit, speak as only you can in this place. God, we're not interested in the words of man. God, we're not interested in, as Kofi said, God, we're not interested in creating a place of entertainment. We truly want to hear from you today, God. We want to watch as the city and our families and our neighborhoods are changed because of what it is that you're doing. So start with us today. God, change us that we would look more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, God is good. Listen, I am so excited. This has been a fun piece of Becoming Heart Strong to share. Last week, we were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Benny, and it was just such a pleasure to sit in that space and watch these bold men declare that God is who he says he is, full stop. That he is the only one deserving of worship. And no matter what situation or circumstance that we enter into, the level of that and the strength of that does not change the integrity of the principles that these young men had learned, and also for us, what we have been going through in these past 3 years of Becoming Heart Strong. God is the I Am. He is who he says that he is. He is not the God of results. He is the God of creation. He is the God who is faithful. He is the God who sent his son on our behalf. He is the God who sets free. He is the God of salvation. This is our God. I've had the opportunity to speak at many different youth rallies and retreats, and now here as a part of Life Center, and people always come up to me and say, Pastor Mitch, like, how do you do it without being nervous? I said, oh good, you can't see it? I actually, same thing this week in conversation with Cassie, she's like, oh, I'm just nervous. I'm like, me too. She's like, yeah, but you do this all the time. Like, yeah, but that doesn't diminish the part of when you actually step into this place. The idea that God could change someone's life today is a weight that every single time, every opportunity that I bear with the full honor of saying, God, I can't wait to watch you do your thing. And this fear of public speaking actually goes all the way back into my youth. When I was in high school, my worst fears were when they would get up and say, okay, get into your groups, or worse, go solo, you're going to have something to present. And I would just, oh, everything inside my stomach would curdle and I would sweat, and I was not smart enough when I was in high school to want to be one of the first ones to just get it done, right? You know what I'm saying? Right? I'd be hoping and pleading that I'd be one of the last ones to go, just for some reason, so I could torture myself, right? Like 30th out of 30 people means every single time I was like, please not me, for 30 times. My dad is a pastor, and he has been public speaking all my life. And so in grade 2, we actually had a challenge from our school to prepare a public speaking message. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And my dad said, well, what if you talked about tubing? And I said, tubing? He goes, yeah, like, what if you talked about tubing and how exciting it is and how much you loved it and how your dad is the best boat driver you've ever seen, and how he just, like, you know, like, he loves you, but when you're on the tube, that's in question, right? You're not really sure because of the size of the waves. And as my dad was describing this, I was like, yeah, I could do that. And so my dad said, okay, perfect. Let me write it for you. And in grade two, in the public speaking challenge, my dad writ for me my entire speech. He was so excited to do it. And I remember standing up. I succeeded in my own class some way, somehow. And I made it into the auditorium to speak. And in front of my entire school, I laid on the line everything that was exciting to me about tubing. And in one of the lines that my dad had written for me, the opening line was, "Have you ever driven 60 kilometers an hour behind a boat and you realize very quickly that you've peed yourself, but you're in the water and it's okay?" As I was standing in front of everyone, I had this amazing opportunity to share what it was that was true for me, but was also written by my father. And as I stood there alone in front of this gathered room of my peers, what I realized very quickly is that I wasn't actually alone. I was on my own, but I wasn't by myself. Church, on your own and alone are two very different things. And something that we want to focus on this morning in the life of Daniel is God reminding us that even when you're on your own, you're not by yourself. The enemy will try to isolate. The enemy will try to tear down. The enemy will try to get you into a position where not only do you feel nervous, but where you are frozen in fear. The enemy will try to lead you into a place where his whispers will say, "Nobody cares, nobody's with you. How can you possibly do this?" Aren't you thankful this morning that we have the word of the Lord? This is why it is important not just to attend church on a Sunday, but to really write verses in your heart. Do you know that there are over 100 verses just in the New Testament that speak directly to this? Like in John 14, Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit would be with us. Church's promises are good. I don't know if you can sense it, but he's here this morning in this room. God is speaking this morning in this room. Young people, he wants you to know how powerful and courageous that he truly wants you to be. Those of us who are a little, yes, less young, he wants to remind you this morning that no matter how gray your hair is, God is still alive and his power is unstoppable and he is dwelling in us. Acts 2 puts it this way. Nope, Romans 8, that's the one I wanted. Romans 8:11 says this, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you." Church, God is with you. Alone means you need to be strong enough. Alone means you need to be smart enough. Alone means you need to lean on yourself in all these situations. And I always stand amazed when people are able to do so. Isn't humanity actually incredible? Right? Isn't what God has created actually incredible? Do you ever take a moment to stand in awe of what's happening in this room right now? Beloved, you are incredible. You're amazing. Because you're made in the image of the Lord, like you are actually breathtaking to behold. That God has specifically and individually pieced together all of your character. And those who don't know God actually take my breath away sometimes, where they're able to stand in the full might of just humanity and be enough. But I'm so thankful that that was never God's intention, because how many of you know that when you're standing on by yourself, there will come a time when the weight is just too much to bear? Even in our greatest accomplishments, even in all of our strength, this world is not our home. We were not made to bear the weight of this world that is broken and is yearning for its redemption as well. There will come a time where the strongest will no longer have the strength. There will come a time where the smartest will be stumped by the beauty and the awe of what God has created. It is just too great for us to fully comprehend. And this is not the intended purpose of the creation of our Creator. His intended purpose is that we would know him, that we would lean on him, that you would fall head over heels in love with him, and that you would know every step, every breath is led by him and filled by him. This is the God that we serve. We have been created with the capacity to worship. But the intent of creation was actually to include us in relationship. Worship for us is optional, right? When you know God, the option disappears. Come on. But you'll see it in all of creation, right? Where we worship and how we worship, we are ingrained with this sense that something will hold our attention. Something will take all of our energy. Something will take all of our focus. The beauty of worship before God is he is so incredible. He is awe-inspiring, and we have no option but to worship. But he's actually called us to something deeper, to know him, to walk with him, to talk with him. Church, this morning, at any point in this message, you can completely turn me out and tune into God, and I'm okay with that. If you want to completely ignore all the rest of what I have to say, that's up to you. But if it's for the intent of engaging with the Lord, that is your God-given right. Oh, someone needs to write that down. That is your God-given right. He has given you the right at any time, at any part of your day, to close everything out and center in with God. And that's just for us. The relationship that we have with the Creator is for us. And it's this place of position, it's this place of authority that God has given us, where he wants us to know that being on your own and alone are totally different concepts. Let's read about this in the story of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. If you have your Bibles, let's read it together. Daniel distinguished himself above all the other administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and the satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they could find no charge for corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found. Come on. What did Daniel have? Daniel had something called character. Daniel had something that was above reproach. He had a relationship with the Father. He had a relationship with God that geared and guided every step that he made. Daniel also had a deep understanding that where he had gotten to, the achievements and the successes in his life, Daniel also had this deep understanding that they had nothing to do with him. Come on, somebody. Church, Daniel had a deep understanding that everything that he was, that every good thing in his life, the positions and the abilities and all the things that had been given to him, he knew the source of it all, and it wasn't him. Daniel knew that God and God alone had put him in this place. That God and God alone had given him one more day to worship and pray. That God and God alone was the one that was setting him over the realm. Although the king was the one making the decree, it was God who was moving all the pieces. Daniel understood that his character and his integrity, his love for God, was the core and the source of it all. Daniel understood that all good things come from the Lord, and every good thing that the Lord gives is worthy to be celebrated. Daniel finds himself in this place of giving his life over to God, and as he's being raised up in this position, everyone else around him is jealous of the position and the authority that he's been given. They're jealous of the blessing that God is pouring out, and they immediately start to look for, yeah, but where are his faults? I know he's been raised to that. I know Daniel eats a lot of salad, right? I understand what's going on here, but where are his faults? See, the problem with the administrators and the satraps is that they began to examine Daniel's life, supposing that the same private faults, all the same things that they wrestled through, if they dug through deep enough, it would be there. But what they didn't understand about Daniel is that his life wasn't his own. Somebody's picking it up today. See, what it is that they realize is that it's not that Daniel was perfect. It's that he wasn't living life for himself. See, these places of falling, these places of shortfalls, these places where others can walk into our lives and pull out those things that shouldn't be there. Church, over and over and over again, it's because of pride. It's because of selfishness. It's because we convince ourselves that, you know, something has happened and so we are deserving to go this way. But Daniel isn't perfect. Daniel is simply molding and guiding his life by one who is. He's completely, completely sold out to the Father. And in that position, there's no corruption. In that position for Daniel, there's no negligence. And instead of being able to celebrate an extremely wise and gifted leader, these other individuals say, yeah, but what if we can find something that's wrong? Church, I want to encourage you today. One of my favorite things about Life Center is that we celebrate what it is that God is doing. And I want to encourage you to continue to wrestle through that place, because all that the enemy wants to do is create division. All that he wants to do is create separation. All that he wants to do is try to elevate why it is that you're not being blessed, or you're not receiving that, or those things aren't happening in you, rather than truly testifying and worshiping. Look at what the Lord has done. Look at what God has done. Even if I'm in a situation where my life isn't going the way that I want it to be, it doesn't change who God is. And so I'll worship and I'll celebrate what's happening in the life of them. And I'm going to hold on, and maybe I can get them to pray for me too. Instead, what happens typically in the church, unfortunately, it begins to mirror our world, and we get jealous. And we allow the blessings of the Lord to stir up insecurity in our own lives. I love that here at Life Center, it's always character before gifting. You might have the best voice in the world, and I've been telling my worship team in Canada, I have one. But here at Life Center, we are desperate to build character. The gifting will always be there. God has made you who he's made you. That gifting isn't going anywhere. It can be nurtured and grown, and you can expand. It's the character. It's the integrity. It's finding ourselves in the position where we say, God, in everything, let me be less so you can be more. These are the places that will allow Life Center and every church who's following God across the city and across the world to actually stand and testify of who God really is, not just who we say he is. This is the standard. We believe that Christ is the center of the church. And we never want to position ourselves to where we begin to take any or even just a little bit of that praise or that worship. Church, may you always be uncomfortable when you step into your gifting and someone says, wow, good job. I hope that uncomfortableness just sits in you like it sits in me every time. Because it's not wrong. God is using us, but I don't want the praise. I don't want the glory. I don't want anybody to walk out on a Sunday morning and be like, wow, Pastor Mitch is my favorite speaker. Who cares? Did you hear from the Lord? Did you allow God to speak into your life, right? Did you allow him to transform you? Because he's desperate to, church. He wants to take us into a place. This is why we've been going through the Old Testament. He wants to take us to a place where our lives would speak of his glory, because we live in a world that desperately needs to know Jesus. And we've been given the pleasure and the honor of just knowing Jesus first. Let us never take that for granted. What a blessing. If you're here in this room and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are blessed. But now you need to position your life so that you can give him away as many times as you possibly can. But Jesus for real, this is the wrestle, right? People are looking at Daniel and they're not believing that they're actually seeing the true God. They believe that they're seeing just another person who's been given favor. And if we're not careful, we can present the same thing. The world is not interested in your God or my God, but you know what they're really interested in? God, period, full stop, who he truly is. This is why Jesus is so amazing, isn't it? Because he comes at a time and he addresses the church leaders and he says, you think you know my Father, but you haven't got past the black and white of the book. You don't know his heart. You're living out all these rules and you're living out all these expectations and all you're doing is crushing people. But my God has come to give a peace and a love and a joy that goes beyond understanding. You have to know the heart of my Father. And so they're looking for Daniel. They're saying, let us see if we can find that corruption in him. He can't possibly be who he's presenting himself to be. Glenn Scivner puts it this way. In the West, Christians live such similar lives to culture that when we express our distinctive beliefs, strangeness is interjected in the relationship. In the Bible, Christians live such different lives that naming our distinctive beliefs explain the strangeness. What does that mean? It means that we are called to grow in Christ-like character. That is the thing that can bring conviction to others who find themselves or wish to live lower. From jealousy and playing into King Darius's pride, an edict that tests Daniel's character is placed into effect. Let's read it. Daniel chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. Anyone who petitions any god or man except you, the king. These are the administrators and the satraps speaking to the king. Anyone who does this will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish the edict and sign the document so that as a law of the Medes and the Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed. So King Darius signed the written edict. What you read very quickly is that King Darius wasn't adverse to having his ears tickled by these people who were under him. He hears all these things and he says, that's an excellent decree. And immediately upon signing, then the idea of Daniel is brought into his mind. Church, what was true for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is still true for Daniel. The size of the adversity did not change the integrity of the principle. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house. The windows in its upstairs room were open towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. The administrators, all that they could find in Daniel's life was that he was faithful to his God. And as they couldn't find anything else to trip him up, they said, somehow we've got to use this against him. And so they bring this charge to the king, and Daniel hears this charge. And what's amazing about Daniel's life is that he simply continues to be faithful, just as he had done before. Many times when we hear about the story of Daniel, we immediately go to the strength that was shown and the steadfastness and the conviction and the courage, but that's not really Daniel's story. Daniel's story is his circumstances didn't change who he was. Daniel's story is that the decree that was sanctioned against clearly his God didn't change that his God was worthy to be engaged with. Daniel doesn't shift. While we want to focus on that strength, and for sure Daniel has that, the greater piece is Daniel doesn't change. His faith remains the same. Daniel knows that you can't cram for tests of character. Daniel knows that you can't cram for tests of character. Church, this is why we're here today. To remind ourselves that God has our hearts, that he has created us for who it is that we are called to be, and only he can shape us into who it is that the world needs to see. So that our lives would scream the reality of who our Savior is. It's not in my own strength. It's not in our own giftings, our own abilities. It is in the alone and in him alone. See, Daniel in this prayer, he's not alone. He's going to be called and forced to stand on his own, but God is with him. In following Jesus, there are battles that you, each of us, on your own, but not alone, need to fight. I love this next part. See, King Darius loves Daniel. King Darius loves what Daniel is bringing to the kingdom. A man of wisdom, a man of integrity, a man of character, a man who isn't of the kingdom and yet is moving in such a way that King Darius's kingdom is growing. He loves Daniel. He knows that when Daniel speaks to him, it has nothing to do with how it can get him further. It has nothing to do with what sort of half-truths he can tell to the king. King Darius trusts Daniel. And as Daniel is brought before the king, as the king follows through on the decree that he himself has signed, I want you to catch this. The hope in King Darius's heart is that Daniel's God would be true. Come on! Church, how many people around us today, how many people in this room are hoping? Where are they placing that hope? And how are we demonstrating that God is worthy of that belief? God is the only one that can give hope to the hopeless. The idea that people are not interested in God is a farce. Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't want more joy? Who doesn't want more peace? Kindness, self-control, anybody here need a little goodness? Right? These are the things that God says, as you plug into me, I will grow these things to a level that it won't make any sense. Anyone? Anyone think that their friends might be interested in that or their family? This is what happens when our life is lived with God. Don't tell me that people don't want God to be real. Don't tell me that people aren't searching for a hope, especially in the day and age in which we live. What the reality is that we have that living hope. We got to let our light shine. It's a farce, the idea that people aren't interested in God. But maybe they're not interested in the God that media portrays. Maybe they're not interested in a God who's surrounded with corruption that's been done in the name of Jesus in the past. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as revealed in Scripture, oh, you better believe they want it. Oh. Listen to how Daniel describes his night in the lion's den. He's on his own, but he's not alone. Daniel chapter 6, verses 19 to 22. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God." First off, a crazy thing to shout as you're running towards the lion's den with starving lions, right? But this is where the king's hope is. What if Daniel's God is able? Okay, so he runs up to them and he says, "Daniel, are you in there? Has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke with the king, "May the king live forever. I got Simba, I got Mufasa, these are my boys. My God sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions, and they haven't harmed me, for I was found innocent before him. And also before you, your majesty, I have not done harm." Church, I want you to catch this. For the king, the result of the next morning would answer his question, "Is the God of Daniel real?" For Daniel, the result of the next morning had nothing to do with the answer. I'm going to say that again. Okay. This is so good. This is so good because we have not been called to be the king. For the king, the result of the next morning would answer the question, "Is the God of Daniel real?" But for Daniel, the result of the next morning had nothing to do with the answer. It was by faith in God that Daniel had asked for the salad. It was by faith that those young men were able to stand tall against King Nebuchadnezzar. And it was by faith that Daniel continued to pray, "I know that I know that I know who my God is. And my circumstances do not change the I am." For those that don't know him, they continually in the story of Daniel stand amazed in who it is that God is. But church, what you'll see in all three of the stories over these last three Sundays, it is simply the reality that whether God showed up in the salad or showed up in the fire or showed up in the lion's den, he is. He is. And when he shows up, it testifies not to Daniel, not to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but to all of those who are bearing witness. Yeah. Yeah. right? Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they didn't need convincing. Why? Because God was with them. I know that there are testimonies after testimonies after testimonies that are in this room that I haven't seen on the screen yet, or I haven't heard in my conversations with you, church. God is real. He is who he says that he is, and it's not based off of the good results. It's the reality that he has been faithful and he will be faithful. And if you're here in this room and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been set free. There is no greater miracle. One day, every one of us on our own will stand before God. And on that day, there is only what is true between God and us. On this day, let us be very clear across all of our campuses that our confidence can only be placed in the established character of Jesus and his covering of the blood. What this means is that even on that day, we are not alone. Daniel is a great story. Jesus is our only Savior. For he who is with us, let us sit with him today. As you came in today, you would have received your communion elements. I'm going to ask you to take those out. What a better way to finish this incredible look at the book of Daniel. If you didn't receive, if you can just put a hand way up, our awesome hospitality guests and family services team will help you with that. Just leave it way up there. They'll get it there. If you know anything about me, I talk for so long, you're not going to have to worry about being left behind. Church, what a better way to finish these past 3 weeks than to take out these communion elements and remember it's God who has invited us to sit at his table. Today we sit at the communion table fully recognizing God is with us. Just a short while ago, we celebrated Easter. A proclamation that God is who he says that he is. He declared that he would set his people free. And through Jesus, he has done so for all eternity. This morning, I want to encourage you as we read together from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that our God has not changed. His love for you has not wavered. And his call on our city, on our neighborhoods, and on our families has not diminished. His desire is that all who seek him would find him, and that all the world would know his name and be free. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said this, but in the following instructions, verse 23, here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Stay with me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Oh, he's coming back. Woo! That's a whole different sermon. Okay. Paul continues in verse 27, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Church, this morning, I want to take a second and I want to invite you to go a little bit deeper in your own walk with God and the place that the Holy Spirit is beginning to put his finger on. What are the areas in our lives where we have elevated ourselves over the Lord? What are the areas in our lives where we have chosen pride rather than humility? What are the areas in our lives where we have said, oh, I want to be selfish rather than be the servant? Church, I want to invite you into that place because God can make all things new. And his desire is to renew his place in your life. Church, I want to invite you this morning as we go to the communion elements, get off the throne of your life. And let he who is only worthy and deserving sit there. Let him guide you. Let him lead you. Let him knit your heart back together. Let him grow character and integrity in your life. Do not serve the God of the results. Serve the God of the scripture. Serve the God who sent Jesus, his only begotten son, to die on your behalf, that everyone who proclaims that he is Lord will be saved. This is the God that we serve. And so I'm just gonna give you 30 seconds to have your own conversation with God. God, thank you for being here with us today. God, would you renew our call, renew our lives, renew a right spirit in each of us, God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be that demonstration. Help us, Lord God, to correctly point to who you are. God, forgive us in the areas and the times where we inject ourselves rather than presenting you. God, set this world free. Bring peace to your creation. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen, amen. This morning, let's take the bread and remember the body that was broken for each and every one of us. And now the blood that washes away all of our sin. Church, this morning, you are free because of the blood that was poured out before you. And so no shame can sit with us, but we welcome the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Let's partake today. And to close in prayer, as I invite Kofi up to close our service. God, thank you for what only you can do. Lord, I pray over the circumstances and the situations in this room where the lions are roaring. God, would you protect your people as only you can? God, you are the faithful one. God, you are the covenant keeper. God, you are the one that we serve. And so, Lord, we don't walk into the lion's den alone. God, we may be on our own, but you are with us. And so whatever the storm, whatever the circumstance that your people are facing, God, may they be faithful to you. We don't serve the God of the result. We serve the I am. Yeah. And so, Lord, even in those situations where our desired result is not what comes out, God, would you meet with us? Would you comfort us? Would you speak into our lives? Surround us with incredible members of the body that we would still see you in the midst of it all. For nothing can pluck us from your hand. What kind of God is this? In Jesus' name, amen.